Hello, everybody. Happy Friday morning. We are back with our... We've done it every... At this point, we have done this every single time. So we're going to do it... Whoa. All right. I agree. I absolutely agree.
Someone must be walking the dog across the street.
Yep. How dare they? The street? Rude.
Well, yeah. Across the drive, you know.
The drive. Rude. Well... Well, there we go. As I was saying before, Jared's dogs had to come save all of us. We are doing our Belmont preview. So this is going to drop Friday morning. And joining us is Dave Brown. He, as I kind of teased a little last week, he is going to be our man on the ground for Belmont at Saratoga for the YouTube miniseries Cut the Deck. We are super excited about this. Like, I have been living and breathing this little mini series since we kind of put our heads together and came up with it. But before we kind of go into the details for that, and before we jump into this Belmont preview, Dave, how are you? And thanks for joining us back.
I can never complain, especially when I got Saratoga coming up. It's going to be a great time. I can tell already, even though the weather's not looking great for every day, I can tell you right now that I've been through enough derbies in rain up to my ankles that
I was going to say,
nothing's going to really put a damper on this. I can assure you that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Excellent. Well, you guys told me about this, that you kind of cooked up here, and I think it's a great idea, and I want to see how this one goes and see if we can build on this going forward and other venues and other partners and we're just going to use Dave as our little guinea pig here to see how this works out.
I think I literally just put you guys in a group chat, which we've had, and I was like, hey, you want me to like do some, you know, on the ground kind of interviews and stuff like that? You're like, yeah, sure.
I mean, that's pretty much how all of our best ideas start. We get in a group chat, we're like, what can we throw at the wall that'll stick? This is what came about.
That's how Pocket Aces came about. Just, you know, it was, you know, a big pot of money that, you know, Jared and Mark decided, look, let's buy a horse. So, you know, best laid plans, or I forgot, I can't even tell you.
The best laid plans are apparently spur of the moment.
I hope this turns out as well. I feel sure it will, because I'm really looking forward to seeing how it goes. And Dave has been tenacious in getting stuff lined up for this series, so I can't wait to see it.
You know, I'm very fortunate. I mean, I've been in this industry for, you know, since I met you guys, for sure, and I've just done a very good job of making connections with people. And I mean, this is as cliche as it is, you know, you just treat people right and, you know, stuff like that, it goes a long way. So I reached out to a bunch of people. I mean, I got, you know, I reached out to like 12 different people, as simple as just, you know, Instagram. I was like, hey, you know, if I could bother you for like 2 minutes or so, you know, somewhere between, like, you know, I'm not going to go up to, you know, Brian Hernandez, you know, while he's walking after the Belmont Stakes, say, hey, can you give me, you know,
but, you know, why not?
I was going to say, NBC will be shoving a microphone in his face. You might as well get the jump on him.
You know, just, you know, be respectful to people. This is a crazy weekend. And even though Saratoga every weekend during the summer is like a circus, this really, as strange as this seems, this does not feel like the Belmont Stakes. Not to say that this doesn't feel special, but every weekend in Saratoga is so special. This just feels like it could be the Travers, let's say. So I'm very interested to talk to, you know, some owners, some trainers, and say, look, you know, this is the Belmont, you know, not as far as, you know, the distance is different, this or that, I don't care about that, but does it feel the same? Everyone's going to be excited, I can tell you that much right now, but does it feel like, you know, we're at the Belmont Stakes right now?
Yeah, I think atmosphere, I think, for a lot of events, especially big events, like, I mean, this weekend's going to be massive. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 grade ones smack in a row. So, and there's 9 graded stakes on that card at Saratoga on Saturday. It's going to be a madhouse. Yes. But environment absolutely kind of makes the event. You know, it's the separator between, you know, kind of those, not to lean on Aqueduct too much because they do the best they can, but it's, you know, it's a half empty Aqueduct on Wood Memorial Day. It probably would feel a little different if they were packed to the gills like they are for Churchill, like for Derby or something. Like, I feel like that environment would add something extra, you know, to the race a little more.
100%. Yeah. And that could have been an argument to make, like, look, why are they going to have this all the way up in Saratoga? They could just have it at Aqueduct. It would not be a really good example would be, and God forgive me for bringing it up so soon, when Tuffsea Terra won the Dowager, you know, we all know the celebration we had after that. A month later, she went off and she won the Long Island. Okay. So, and like I said, Naira, bless their heart, they do their best. They were upstairs watching it on a TV that they couldn't even get the replay to play, holding plastic champagne glasses, and someone walked up with a cardboard box that had a trophy in it. So Ooh. You're talking about a $300,000, I guess it's a grade three.
Grade three.
So, you know, you're talking, you know, a different situation, same races, same everything that would have been in Sarah, that could have been Aqueduct. I can tell you right now, there's not going to be one person that's going to be upset that they moved it up to Saratoga.
Yeah, it's I'm incredibly interested to see how people interpret the environment, especially I feel like the Europeans, because I know a lot of trainers target that weekend at Belmont because there's very, very nice races, but also mm-hmm. because of the giant sweeping turns. It's kind of like the long one route all the way around. It's a little closer to like these massive European tracks where you don't have as tight of a turn. So aside from racing biomechanics, I will be interested to see how they interpret more of like a festival feeling than mm-hmm. perhaps, I wouldn't say it's very cut and dry when it was at Belmont Park, but I feel like Saratoga is like a jovial festival kind of feeling, whereas like Belmont's more like grand and it's like big and it's airy and it's you know, it's just big. Everything's big, right? So it's going to be very interesting for me. I'm very excited to hear what people say. I'm really looking forward to this. So,
well, like I said, speaking of Euros, I did tell you that Charlie Appleby owes us time after Saturday's race. So I'm going to do my best to try to, you know, steal him for a couple of minutes and make sure he knows, you know, who we are. But no, you know, that's another thing too. I want to, you know, it's the jockeys, it's the trainers, it's the owners, but you know, I want to hear what the fans have to say, because I mean, there's people who are, you know, flying in from all over that wouldn't normally come to Belmont. I mean, I had people text me today from, and I mean, Boston's not terribly far, but you know, they're coming in for four straight days. It's not a cheap place to stay, Saratoga. So
no,
I mean,
no, it's this, not.
You know, I got very lucky with, you know, where I was able to stay, but you know, we kind of had a good feeling that this was going to happen, you know, last year. So, I mean, this is people's vacation. Whereas with the Belmont, okay, you know, we'll come in for the day and leave. This is a 4-day festival. This is a festival. When they call Belmont Festival, it's literally, okay, if you're going to go in on Friday, you go see the, I think they moved the Belmont, no, not the Gold Cup. What's the 2-mile turf race? It's the, I think it's the Belmont Gold Cup. Yeah. Yes, it is. And now the Acorns on Friday. I mean, you're going to have four straight days of just packed out. You could feel it. This is what a racing festival in New York should feel like, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. It'll be interesting to see how people react when the new, when they're done building it. I know the reactions to the renderings, the artist renderings were kind of mixed.
A JetBlue terminal.
Yeah, it looks very modern, and I think they may have swung a bit too far in the other direction. I mean, we'll see. Like, they make these artist renderings all the time, and things happen, and things are tweaked, and things change a little bit. So I will be, I'm very curious to see how the final product will look like. But at the end, I think we can all agree that Belmont definitely needed it. And I'm looking forward to seeing it completed as well. But hey, you know, we got Belmont at Saratoga for at least the next couple of years. So this is going to be, it's going to be a wild couple of years, I think.
And what's funny is you talk about them redoing it. So Obviously, I know because this is my area, but they built a hockey stadium for the Islanders. So what they did was they built what's called UBS Arena right there. They made it look almost identical to what it would look if it was Belmont. Then they knocked down Belmont, and what they're going to put nothing. I told you, it looks like something that's like, you know, out of like LaGuardia or JFK, you know, terminal. I mean, it looks gorgeous. I can't wait. Yeah. That I'm only 15 minutes away. I think that, you know, it's going to bring so much good to the sport, which we need. But I think for the meantime, a little bit of excitement up in Saratoga for the Belmont is going to be great.
Yeah. It's always a good time.
Yeah.
So Dave, you mentioned earlier, I just want to get your thoughts on that. I want to expand on your thoughts on it. You mentioned earlier that, you know, you didn't care about the distance. And I get, you know, I've heard a lot of people say that. For me, I care about it a lot. You know, I know that the Triple Crown races have changed distances over the years. The Derby's been run at multiple distances, but for a long time now, it's been a mile and a quarter. For a long time, the Preakness has been a mile and a 3/16, and a long, long time, the Belmont's been a mile and a half race. You know, I mean, it is the test of champions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's just really difficult for me to get excited about the Belmont that's not going a mile and a half.
I think right now people are all saying whatever, it's nothing. But then when one horse wins on Saturday, the big argument's going to be, well, if this was at Belmont, no, you know, I think you're getting horses in this field that can go this distance, but you know, a mile and a half might be a stretch for them. So I do see what you mean. I mean, honestly, they could move this over to the harness track and run, you know, the Belmont Stakes over there. I would be just as happy. But I do 100% understand what you mean, for sure. And I think you get in a different field of horses that can go this distance, know that they can make that run. I mean, you know, we saw the horses that were closing nice in the Derby. I mean, they're all in this race.
We were talking about Seize the Gray, and we have our very vocal doubts as to how he's gonna handle a situation where hopefully he doesn't just go to the lead and everybody forgets he exists, because then he'll just do the same thing again, and he'll pick up another you know, classic to his name, which again wouldn't surprise me with how this year has gone. But yeah. You're right. It's going to be, but I think he didn't face anything close to what he's going to face at in Sierra Leone. And I think that's ultimately going to be, I think he's going to be the deciding factor here, because we all know he can close like a train. So. Mm-hmm.
Right.
He'll definitely be interesting.
In like rush hour traffic with 20 horses, you know? So if you can make your way through there, you know, I think you're doing something. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, then let's go ahead, and since we're kind of drifting to that topic anyway, let's go ahead and then just kind of move over to do our Belmont Stakes preview. As Jared kind of mentioned a little earlier, it is not the mile and a half. It is a mile and a quarter. It is 3-year-olds, one circuit all the way around Saratoga. We have a field of 10. We are going to have the Kentucky Derby winner, the Preakness winner, the Derby second. We have a lot of horses in here that we saw on the first Saturday in May. As we get going, as I said earlier, it's going to be a massive day. There's going to be 9 graded races. This is the last graded race on the card, and then we have 2 turf races after it. And right from that rail, kind of where we don't want him to be, there he is, Seize the Gray. This is the jump up, I guess, shocking winner of the Preakness, and he followed that up on May the 4th. He won the Pat Day Mile. Do we think, again, in this situation, that he's potentially going to have that trip, that front-running trip that he got in the Preakness?
Well, I mean, he's definitely going to be out on the lead. The question is, will anybody let him go like he did last time? And just, you know, just a quick glance through the PPs, there's several horses in there that I believe are going to be up there pressing and pushing him. You know, the Wine Steward's going to be near the lead. You know, Dornock, obviously his last 2 races, he wasn't near the lead, but every other race in his career,
he's
been on or near the lead. You know, I think that Mindframe is going to be on the lead, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And he has not been in a stakes race yet, but you know, he's also in there. You know, my question is he in there as a true contender, or is he in there to set the pace and set it up for Protective, maybe who'd be in more of a stalking position? I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. But I just don't think anybody's going to give him the lead again like he got last time. If they do, he's liable to do exactly what he did in the Preakness.
Yeah. I kind of see it as almost like a Bill Belichick play, and it's like, all right, once you know that they can do it, watch them. Don't let them get that far away. So I totally agree with what you're saying, Jared, for sure.
Well, an interesting statistic for me here is that his record on a wet track of some kind is considerably better than what he's been running on a dry fast. Like his wet track, he's run three times on some kind of track with some kind of moisture in it. Either it was soup or it was a heavy rain. He has two winners. Obviously, that Preakness is included, and he's third. He's never been off the board on over wet surfaces. He gets his highest numbers on wet surfaces. So I don't know if he's going to get that kind of a surface again on Saturday.
And those are the types of surface. All three of those were sealed tracks. You know, they knew the rain was coming in. They prepped the tracks ahead of time.
Yeah.
And you know, a lot of horses that are front runners, they can just they don't sink down into that track when they seal them, when they get them really tight. And then most of that water is just sitting on top of the track.
Yeah.
And the horses just kind of skate over it, you know. So if they are anticipating rain, as Dave mentioned a little bit ago, I haven't looked at the forecast for up there.
Yeah.
But if it's looking like it, if it's dry on Friday, but they're expecting rain overnight and into Saturday, you can guarantee they're going to have that track. They're going to have it sealed and they're going to have it tight, and it'll be a very similar track. Now, I just don't know because I haven't looked at the weather, so I don't know.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, that'll be, I think kind of like what we talked about with the Preakness, it's for him. I think it's going to be weather dependent, definitely for him, because he seems to just do really, really well over wet surfaces anyway. I mean, and of course, Mystic Dan does as well. I mean, he's run through soup on several occasions, so is Sierra Leone. So, like, you know, there's not really the situation here of like what we had in the Preakness where the Bob Horse Imagination came in. He'd never seen a wet track, and he kind of, I think his enthusiasm petered out. We even talked about it. His enthusiasm petered out pretty quickly when he got over that soup. So weather dependent. I will be fascinated to see how fast they go then on the front end, because we do have several horses in here. Dornock for sure is a very close to need the lead type, because that's really the only way he wins. Because like you said, the last couple times that he hasn't been on it, he hasn't come close. I will be interested to see what those early splits are going to be, because I am wondering if Dornock gets out, and it's going to be a lot better for him, I think, because we're cutting the field in half from the Derby. So it's definitely going to be interesting for me to see that if he gets out well enough, And he can hook seize the gray. Those early fractions are going to be very indicative of how badly this pace breaks down for Sierra Leone. So.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
It's all going to be, it's all pace dependent.
Yeah.
100%.
So then when we go down to the next one right next to him in the gate, it's going to be Resilience. It's going to have Junior Alvarado, our good friend, is going to be in the irons. This is the Into Mischief that we kind of talked about. He was the shock winner, I guess, of the Wood Memorial. I wouldn't say so much shocky. Like he was paid $450, so I wouldn't necessarily call him a shock winner. But this is that Wood Memorial where the Uriah St. Louis runner fell, but he came out of that okay, and he very fortunately went home to recover. Resilience kind of finished sixth. I mean, he didn't do bad in the Kentucky Derby, all things considered. He came in sixth. There's a video
of Junior in the jocks room afterwards.
Yeah.
And he thought he had the race won at a certain point. Like he was coming in, and I know as much about, you know, being a jockey as, you know, the next guy, but
it seemed like that his horse had a lot left in the tank.
And he's been working
Did he
really
have
well.
traffic trouble?
His closing in, he looked pretty good, but I mean, you had three flying up, going for the bob basically. So I think it was just, too much too late.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
He's been working well over there, over the training track, the Oklahoma training track over there at Saratoga. His four furlong move was clocked as the second best of 30 on the day. It was in 48 flat, I'm pretty sure. Back on June 2nd. So he's been working well since that Derby. And he's been at Saratoga since at least May 27th, because that's his first recorded work over that training track, from out of Churchill Downs. So he's been there a hot minute now, and he looks like he's getting over there really well, and like he's thriving. So it'll be very interesting. He's an interesting horse for me, because so many horses, they get just not atrocious rides, because it's a crapshoot anyway, right? Because there's just so much going on. It's a 20 horse field, but so many horses move forward coming out of the Derby, especially when they don't have these wild, field situations to have to navigate. And he was definitely one of the horses who had, and you know, a lot again, a lot of credit to Junior Alvarado. He gave him such a good ride for what the circumstances allowed him. So I will be interested to see, now that Resilience is kind of back on familiar turf, kind of how he, if he once again moves forward with less traffic to navigate here.
I will never count out Alvarado and Mott. Never.
Right. They got a lot of mounts this weekend too.
They are too good together. And I think we said the same thing before the Derby. Just that's a tough combination. So that certainly would not surprise me to see them winning the race on Saturday for sure.
I think that was Mark's pick for the Derby too.
Yeah, I think so. I think he had him on the top.
And speaking of the Derby, we move down to Mystic Dan, the Kentucky Derby winner. I would say very good Preakness second for what he got handed, which was a loose early leader. Again, if we get that moisture that they're kind of, foretelling for New York, we've all seen that muddy, sloppy is not an issue for him, by all accounts. I mean, McPeak has been super happy with him. He even mentioned it in a TDN interview that he goes, when you win the Derby and you're second in the Preakness, you don't turn around and go the Ohio Derby. Like, we want to contest the Belmont. So here they, I mean, good on them. For being sportsmen and feeling like this is something they could do, and they're here. We have the Derby winner and the Preakness winner here. So of a sorts, we do have the Triple Crown. With Sierra Leone here, do we think that since he consistently gets first jump on a lot of these horses, and he kind of showed in the Preakness that he can sit a little closer than far back mid pack, do we think that this is something he's going to be able to repeat and get the jump on Sierra Leone?
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely going to be closer to the pace than Sierra Leone is. So the question then becomes, how fast is that pace? This race, every way I look at it, everywhere I look, it's all pace, because it's going to dictate, if they're really wing dinging it on the front end, and Mystic Dan is closer, much closer to the lead than they may want him to be, just because that's where he's going to be comfortable. Then he's going to be closer early. He's going to be going faster early. Does that open it up for Sierra Leone later? Better. I don't know. I think it's just going to depend on, again, where is that pace?
And it's weird that it's such an unknown, that it's such a mystery, that like I get nobody wants to send their horse and potentially cost their horse a shot at a better placing. But like, at some juncture, we have to kind of admit that we can't just keep letting people run loose on the lead and then act shocked when they inevitably get away from you.
Yeah,
So
and that's it's you know it's the damned if you do, damned if you don't, and it's just a matter of whether or not the trainers, the owners have said, you know what, we're going to go with you and see if you can beat us. We're going to try to beat you. Maybe it's not the best, but maybe it works out. And again, you know, maybe that's why Rapoli and Pletcher got two horses in here.
Well, I was going to say, I was like, it wouldn't surprise me if to kind of combat those kinds of tactics where nobody really wants to potentially ask their too much of their horse at once, if people just don't start running rabbits again. Because rabbits are actually quite, not frequent, but they're not unusual in European races where it looks like there's going to be no pace to run at for a horse that they potentially think is a bit more highly regarded and is a closer and needs a pace. So, I mean, I guess we'll find out. And which kind of brings us down to the wine steward here. This is one of those horses where we talked about, you know, a little bit earlier, how close is he going to be to the lead? How hard is he going to push? Because he almost everywhere is pretty close to the front. He either sits right off the leading pair or he is pushing the leader. And he faced Antiquarian, and he's back in this race. He's faced Protective last out in the Peter Pan, and Protective is back in this race. So they're going to face each other again. And this is a New York bred. He's a Michael Maker trained. This is going to be a very interesting thing because for some reason we thought he was a Bob horse earlier, and we couldn't figure out there's a wine horse with Bob. We just don't remember his name for some reason. But I mean, he's been first or second in every race in his career. So I mean, it's hard to kind of knock that too hard, and he's faced some tough horses.
You know, I've watched his races obviously, and I just don't. You know, what probably sours me on him as much as anything is the, you know, Encino just was such a bust in the, you know, and you know, yeah, he was second to Encino in the Lexington, and I just don't think he's on the same caliber with most of the other horses in this field. It's just not, you know, he may win the race, but, and Lord knows Mike Maker can certainly pull off a lot, but you know, he is going to be on the front. You know, Manny Franco's got the mount. Manny loves to get out on the front. So, you know, it's just a matter of, you know, who's out there with him and how long can they hold on? But I just don't feel like this horse is. I just don't put him on the same elite level, I think, maybe as Mystic Dan and Sierra Leone.
That's fair. Well,
and even Resilience. I think even Resilience is a better horse than the Wine Steward. Well, even though the numbers are fairly similar, I just got a different. I don't know why. I just got a different feel about it. You know, different vibe to it.
Yeah, I mean, it's fair. I kind of like, and we talked about Antiquarian, and I like him a lot. And he obviously he beat the Wine Steward last time in the Grade 3 Peter Pan. It was his first time going a mile and an eighth over at the Belmont and Aqueduct. He had kind of a bumpy start. He had some trouble he had to overcome. And he's by Preservationist, who himself took a bit of time to get going. And it kind of seems like he's finding the direction he wants to be going in. This is the first of the Todd Pletchers in here. I like Antiquarian because he's a Mayfoal. He's going in the right direction. He's getting good at the right time. And the Peter Pan historically tends to produce, if not a Belmont winner, they produce somebody that can at least be very competitive here, right? And I think Antiquarian is going to be, if for whatever reason Sierra Leone does not fire and Mystic Dan, even if Mystic Dan fires, I think Antiquarian is going to give him a lot to have to turn back, because he's a pretty gutsy horse. He's never really had it easy in any of his races. He's always had some kind of something happen where he has to keep going. Either he's five wide or he has just the worst kind of start. And this isn't the Derby, so bad starts are not impossible to overcome here. And I think Antiquarian is going to give them a lot to handle here. I really do.
And you got the matchup of Pletcher and Velasquez, and we know how powerful that could be too.
Yeah,
absolutely.
That's a big
and combo. Yeah, bred by the late Brereton Jones. It would be fitting to see him one of the last horses that he's responsible for breeding. Win a classic. So.
Yep.
that would be an interesting storyline to go along with it. But yeah, I think I like this horse. You know, is he ready to take the step forward against this competition? We'll see. You know, I don't know if he's the one that I would, load up on, but I think this one's best running is ahead of him. I look for him to have a good performance here and really look for him later in the summer in the Haskell and the Travers.
Okay, that's fair. Then, do we kind of feel maybe that Dornoff, who's right next to him, we're just going down the line. So then, do we feel kind of that Dornoff might have gotten over the hump a bit too quickly? Because it seems like he can take his show on the road anywhere. But he really, like at the in the bluegrass, I felt like he really didn't have too much of an excuse. In the bluegrass, and then obviously he was checked very hard in the Derby. He was, I mean, the connections tweeted almost immediately after the race that when they saw him going into the turn and how hard he was checked, they knew their Derby was over. I guess my concern is, I'm wondering if maybe he regressed a little bit from the Derby, because he had one of those really, really bad trips in the Derby that sometimes has been known to sour horses. And like obviously he's been training well enough. He doesn't seem to have completely lost his spark or anything, but I don't know. I don't know if a front runner like this, if after getting slammed like that in the Derby, now they're going to come back and ask him to duel another front runner, which Seize the Gray absolutely is. In this situation, especially on a wet track, I don't know how much Dornock's going to want to do that. I really
I
don't.
think if he doesn't, he can't compete. He's got to go. You talked about, well, people don't want to, they don't want to be up there and press and, sacrifice themselves. But
He's a need the lead, though. He is a need the
I think,
lead.
yeah, if he doesn't go for the lead early, which hopefully, he gets out, he break gets out of the gate and he's got clear running. Again, 10 horses versus 20 horses like he had in the Derby, but he's got to go. He's got to go early and he's got to be on the lead or sitting just off the shoulder of Seize the Gray. More than likely, he's going to be the first one going into the turn. And I think that's for him to be at his best. That's what he's got to do.
Well, I mean his best wins have historically come from him being on the lead. Like even the Remsen, the only reason he beat Sierra Leone, I think a lot of people thought so too, is aside from the fact that it was a slugfest down to the wire, I think he had been far enough and he was far enough into the front that by the time Sierra Leone kind of got to him, there was still just enough left to kind of hold him off. But Sierra Leone has progressed forward enough where I don't think it's going to be quite the same result anymore.
And I think as much as anything is you got an extra quarter mile or extra eighth of a mile in this race. And like you said, I just don't, I think, we may have already seen the best of Dornick. Maybe not, we'll see. But I think possibly that the mile and a quarter is just going to be, it's going to be just a little bit too long.
So we'll swing next to him. We'll go down to Protective. This is the Rapoli stable runner. This is the Todd Pletcher. He kind of has thirditis, I guess, if we can call it that. Well, he was disqualified and placed fourth in that last one, but he's been crossing the wire at least in third, 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 and he's been closing. He came in from the Wood Memorial. He came from 11th, which I'm assuming is last, and he had a bump break. He was taken up. He had one of those kind of shoddy situations there. But I don't know if he's, I mean, he's gonna if he's gonna run that same style, he's gonna be back there with Sierra Leone, and I do not think Protective is gonna beat Sierra Leone in his own game. Maybe I'm wrong, but I think Sierra Leone is if you're gonna look for heavy closers, Sierra Leone is definitely gonna be your pick over Protective.
Yeah, he's just not for me. We'll leave it at that.
Well, he's 21 on the morning line. I don't think he's gonna be for a lot of
He's not
people.
for most people.
So we'll come down to Anna Marie. Anna Marie was one of those horses that just got absolutely jostled. He came out at 20th. He came out of last, which came on and finished at 8th, which is a very respectable effort. He passed 12 other horses to get up there, so it's a respectable effort, especially when you got knocked around apparently as hard as he had been. This is another one of those horses where he likes to park himself out in the back of the field. He's also going to be very much pace dependent. This is son of Honor Code. Honor Code was a very classy horse, very hard trying horse. He's bred for the longer distance. He's Honor Code is the son of AP Indy, and his dam is a smart strike mare. I will be interested to see if he bounces back, but I'm one of those people where really really bad Derby trips kind of make me wary of horses because you never really know mentally what that does for them. At the end of the day, I guess we'll see, but I think Honor Marie, if he can bounce back, I think he's good enough to at least get up and get some of this black type again in the Belmont.
Yeah, and again, he's gonna need the pace, and he's gonna need to get the jump on Sierra Leone, and he's gonna need to be able to finish better and faster than Sierra Leone
and Mystic Man, because I just don't know.
I just don't know. Well, I mean, Mystic Dan's going to be a little bit closer than Sierra Leone even. So, I think Honor Marie is going to be back at the very back with Sierra Leone. And the question is, does this horse have the stamina? He should have the stamina, but is he going to have the speed that he needs to beat Sierra Leone late?
Yeah.
I don't think so. But again, this is, maybe he gets the jump on Sierra Leone, moves a little bit earlier, and Sierra Leone gets a little bit of, gets a bad trip or something. And in which case, I think, because I do believe we are going to see several horses on the lead. And I think it's going to, it's got a really good chance of falling apart late. And if it's going to fall apart late, then Anna Marie's got potential to be up there in the mix.
Yeah. Well, and
I just don't know if he's good enough to be there, to have a head in front when they cross the line.
Yeah. I know a lot of people, we can debate what happened in the Derby as much as we want to, but like, he's definitely no Forever Young. I think Forever Young was an extremely high class Japanese runner, and he showed it. He absolutely showed it in the Derby. I mean, it was a blanket finish, literally noses on the wire. So he's not Forever Young. And I think Anna Marie, if he doesn't get going and get going in a hurry, I don't think he's going to be able to catch a lot of these horses that similarly are bred for this distance and are still going to have the gas they need to kind of pass the front runners if the front runners start coming back. So it's a question of who can he get there fast enough, especially if they're going quick enough on the front. And speaking of, we'll get down right next to Anna Marie. It is Sierra Leone. This is morning line favorite. They made him 9-5, which is 100% justified. It really is. He's, they paid $2.3 million for him. They're getting absolutely what they paid for. He was second by a nose in that Derby. He was, he's the winner of the Bluegrass, winner of the Risen Star. He was second by a nose in the Remsen with Dornick. And we've kind of discussed that the Dornick of December 2nd of the Remsen is probably not the same horse we're going to see now. So I think a lot of people have kind of assumed that this is Sierra Leone's race to lose. And we said that about the Derby, and he came very, very close. So, but this again, field's chopped in half. He's going to have a pace set up. Justifiably, he's going to be a very, very heavy favorite.
Yeah, I think so. I think the race sets up well for him. Now, curiously enough, if we were at Belmont going a mile and a half, I would probably feel a little bit differently because, people think that closers should do well in the Belmont just because it's so long and, a horse that can put in a big run late ought to be able to do something. But, the Belmont surprisingly is won a lot of times by horses on the lead or horses very, very close to the lead. So I think this particular Belmont sets up much better for Sierra Leone than our traditional Belmont. And we've already talked about the fact that we think a speed duel is going to develop up front and that the race has a very good chance to fall apart. And I think that this horse just by far has the best closing kick of any of these horses, you know, quite frankly, by quite a bit.
Yep.
And I do think he's the one to beat if the pace scenario develops. If it doesn't, then I think we might be looking at the next horse.
Yeah. Yep. Mindframe is interesting enough. He's a Maryland bred. You don't see those floating around outside of Laurel Park too often, but they paid $600,000 for him at Keeneland September, and he justified it.
You don't see very many $600,000 Maryland breds.
And I mean, he justified it at Gulfstream Park. I mean, he rolled off the screen. It was what, a seven furlong main special. I mean, 21.92, 44.44 splits. Like, that's wild. And then he rolls off by 13¾ lengths. Like, that's, I mean, all gone. And, like, the horse behind him, One Sharp Cookie, came back and won. And the next start in the optional claiming contest at Churchill Downs, won by 7½, set a very leisurely pace. He was on the front end there. This is a Constitution. He's a son of Tappet, out of a Street Sense mare. He's Todd Pletcher. It's a Rod Ortiz. It's Rapoli and St. Elias. Like, this is what they do. This is what they buy for. This is, if he steps forward any more than he already has, this horse is going to be tough to beat. Like, obviously, it's not optional claiming company. I don't think anybody in that optional claimer was anything close to Sierra Leone, but, I mean, this is a very impressive horse.
Yeah, I mean, he's got a future in front of him for sure. I 103 buyer in his debut, 97 next out. You know, I do have issues at times with buyers. I think that they, and most speed figures, you know, they get inflated a little bit depending on what track you're running at. They get inflated a little bit by big winning margins, you know, so if, is that speed figure spot on? You know, I don't know. He's definitely going to have to step forward. He's definitely going to have to, you know, this is by far and away the best competition that he's faced. But, you know, he's going to want to be near the lead. And if they go, if it's slow again, you know, like it was his last race, he'll be on it, probably in front of Seize the Gray, assuming Seize the Gray will relax. But I think this horse has the ability to relax a little bit, as he showed in that first start. You know, so if Seize the Gray gets pressed by any of the other horses, you know, on the front end, I think this horse is a little more capable of sitting back, you know, just a couple lengths than maybe a Dornick.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you get a moderate pace, you know, not, so it's maybe they're not just going, you know, maybe they're not going 22 or 23 and change, and they're going 24, then this one, I think, has got a lot, you know, and he's sitting off the pace a little bit, and you got two going really fast, or, you know, pretty fast up front.
Yep.
Then, you know, I think that could set up well for him. But he's never had anything run at him like Sierra Leone's going to be running at him.
Yeah.
And that's the question. Well, you know, when Sierra Leone comes flying up at the late, and even Anne-Marie potentially coming right behind him or right there near him, you know, that's going to be a new experience for this horse. And, you know, maybe he doesn't respond to it very well, but I mean, at 7-2, making just his third start in the Belmont, you know, and I think it's justified, quite frankly. I think it's justified.
Well, and it's not like to use an example, over this past weekend, the winner of a French Group One, it's called the Prix du Jockey Club, and it's a French classic. The winner was in the same boat as Mindframe, where it was his first time in the stakes company of any kind, period. And he stepped up and won a Group One race in his first time ever being in stakes company. This is one of those situations where Mindframe is either going to absolutely step up and prove that these numbers are not inflated, that these numbers are absolutely 100%, you know, representative of what his actual talent is, or his inexperience is going to show, because compared to the rest of this field, he is very unseasoned. And so either he steps up and he rolls off, or he functions as a rabbit and he pushes along a pace potentially that melts down for the other Rapoli horse in here, which is protective, you know, Sierra or Sierra Leone capitalizes on that kind of a trip. So I guess the inexperience for me is the question here. Like, which you know, which mind frame is going to be. Is it going to be the calm professional one, or is it going to be the one that obviously acts like a horse who's only on his third lifetime start? Because this is a very different, it's going to be a very different environment, kind of like what we said at the beginning of this episode. You know, this is Saratoga, this is Belmont. It's a compounding kind of loud, boisterous festival feeling. It's not really the kind of the same thing as you know, Gulfstream Park March the 30th. And he ran May the 4th at Churchill Downs. But it's, you know, we'll see. I think at the end of the day for Mindframe, we'll see. So, but I'm worried. Like, his inexperience for me is kind of what gives me pause.
Yeah. I think this is another one that could be really dangerous later in the summer.
Yep.
If not Saturday. Yeah. So, Dave, let's hear your picks.
Yeah. Now that you've heard us.
I'm going to go 2, 5, and 10.
2, 5, 10. All right.
So I'm gonna you know, mix and match it up, but you know, I hope to be super busy on Friday and Saturday. That, you know, I hope that, you know, I look at my watch at 10 minutes to go and like, oh, I gotta get my bet in quick. and usually I do my best winning when I forget to bet too. So, or you know, forget to watch the race. So maybe I'll just leave the track actually. Race, and then
get stuck in a basement with no internet or something.
But yeah, no, that I'm just excited to see it. Like I said, it's going to be a fun time, and but yeah, no, if my numbers can come in like that, I mean, I always love, you know, I mean, geez, juniors, you know, won just about everything, but I mean, a Belmont, you know, would be nice, and I wouldn't mind seeing him win that.
Yep, I agree.
Absolutely.
He's a good friend of the podcast, so yeah. We always wish him good luck.
Yeah.
Patty, what about you? Talk what's your pick?
I definitely am gonna use Antiquarian. It's hard to shuffle out from Sierra Leone, so I will stay with him, even though it's like heavy 9 to 5 favorite. But I'm probably gonna do 5, 9, and I don't want so much to have to toss him in here, but I like the Wine Steward. I do. I really like I love the tough knocking New York bread. So I'm probably going to do 5, 9, and 4.
Someone's got to come in third.
I know, right?
Absolutely. So I think I'm going to have a Derby Exacto of Sierra Leone and Mystic Dan. I think if I'm going to play a trifecta, I'm going to keep, you know, obviously those two, and I'm going to throw in Resilience, and I'm going to throw in 10, based on what I see as pure potential alone. Mm-hmm. I think he's got a chance to be up there in the mix. And so if I'm looking at a trifecta and a super, those are my four.
All right. Well, there you have it. And obviously, you know, folks, if we win and we all somehow leave with money, congratulations, we're very smart. And then if not, you should have known better than listening to us.
Well, if mine comes in, it's not going to pay very well because I've gone very chalky. And but that's just the way I see this one shaking out. So
I would love to get Antiquarian at 12 to 1. I really would.
Yeah,
sure, absolutely.
Yeah,
I don't think you'll get it though.
No, I don't either.
I don't think you're going to get Resilience at 10 to 1 either.
No. Mm-mm. Well, alrighty. This was. I love these previews. I know, like, we're coming up to the end of them. We're not going to get to do them too often until we get to maybe, like, Haskell weekend or Breeders' Cup weekend or something. But I love these preview episodes. We always end up having so much fun.
Well, I will say this. I'm going to ask you both to – I'm going to attempt my best to watch it. But the University of Kentucky baseball team is hosting the Super Regional, and the first game is on Saturday at 6 p.m. So – I'm going to ask you guys to shoot me a text at the end of the race because I will be at Kentucky Proud Park watching my Cats take on Oregon State trying to make it to the College World Series for the first time ever.
All right.
And so,
okay.
I'm gonna have to record the race, but you guys can let me know who won.
Is there anybody or anything you guys want me to collect while I'm out there?
I would like I would like a program, frankly, if you're offering.
That's easy. That I can do.
I know. I'm a program collector. I love programs. Like I got one of my coworkers. He covers Dubai World Cup every year, and he brought me back a program from the Dubai World Cup, and it's like it's hung on my wall. I'm like, I love it.
You know, just so definitely, I know you got a plan to talk to him already, but love to hear from Junior, and I would be absolutely over the moon and thrilled if you're talking to Junior after the race and he's coming out of the winner's circle. I think that'd be fantastic. You know, man, just go up there and have fun with it. I can't wait to see what you come back with.
Yeah. No, I'm interested to see what everyone's got to say. And I think everyone will be in good spirits and whatnot. And like I said, I'll get a little bit of the crowd picks too. Those are always, I mean, obviously we're putting this out afterwards, but you know, who cares?
it'd still be good to see it. And maybe one of these days we'll get to the point where we can just go live with it all.
Yeah, that sounds good.
That'll be fun. Well, we got to wrap.
Dave, folks, thanks so much for joining us tonight. And thanks so much for doing this weekend. I'm just really looking forward to seeing what you come up with and seeing how you and Patty get that thing edited and put together and presented on the YouTube channel. So we're really looking forward to it.
See how Patty gets edited. I just have to turn the phone on and ask the questions, but Patty's getting, I mean, God willing, Patty's going to get a Dropbox that's going to get full, because Friday I'm going to Prime Jared, Saturday I'm going to 550 Waterfront. So, you know,
excellent.
Who knows what time I'll be back, but Patty, you'll have a whole bunch, and we'll get through and we'll label everything. So whatever you need, you'll know.
Well, you enjoy the waterfront. I think I'm headed to Ruby's on Friday night. Sister-in-law and brother-in-law coming in town, and they haven't been yet. So they asked if we could go. So we'll both be eating good this weekend.
No, you're not kidding. Yeah.
I'll be eating takeout from my desk because I'm working.
Well, you know, we're working. We're just working in a different environment.
Yeah. That's a convenient lie.
Well, again, thank you very much, and thanks ahead of time for both your hard work on the video project, and I just can't wait to see it. So
thank you. No problem.
Thank you. And as you heard, folks, make sure that you are subscribed to our YouTube channel. It's under Pocket Aces Racing. Make sure that you have hit that bell so you get those notifications when that mini series starts to get posted live. You can follow us on all of our social media channels. We're under Pocket Aces Racing once again. We're on Facebook, Twitter, and on Instagram. We'll try and get these videos out and linked on as many of our social medias as we can. And kind of like how I tell everybody, have a fun and safe Belmont Stakes weekend. It's going to be a lot of good racing, and you know, celebrate and enjoy yourselves. But you know, celebrate responsibly and have a good one. Make good choices. And the podcast is out.
Actually, if we have any partners up there too, contact Jared. Get my number. Shoot me a text and meet up with me. Love to meet everybody. So I'm sure we're gonna have at least one partner up there. So we'd love to see anybody if they make the trip up.
All right, there you go. You heard the man. Reach out to him. Have a good one, everybody.
Take care.